Sunday night, women shir in Chavis Halvavus Shar HaBechina. Well, Mitzvah Shem, we're going to start now Perek Aleph. Perek Beis. Thank you. Okay. So, actually, I want to go over something that I think is very important. Okay. Okay, so Bechina is to see Hashem, and hopefully, and this is what he'll be training us to do also, hopefully to see how his Achdus, how everything is run by one power, because you see everything, different things work together in the Bria, and they complement each other. Even besides what I talked about, that in physics the forces of the Bria are always in tandem, like Zohar and Akeva, positive, negative. There's always like two forces that work together. So you see Achduso, and you see Chachmoso, and you see Tovaso. See Hashem, this is what we're going to be trained to do. See Hashem, see his Achdus, see his Chachma, the complexity of the Bria, which shows us the wisdom and Tovaso, how it works, and it gives us what it gives us. And if things wouldn't work as well, we wouldn't have an inhabitable planet, or we wouldn't have as much different kinds of fruits and vegetables. Okay. Rather, I was learning yesterday, I gave a shirin in Yaakov to the men, and it was talking about Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, and thinking about thinking about, even for a fleeting second or two, you know, saying Hashem Echad. Hashem Elokeinu is that Hashem is real, Hashem exists, and Hashem Echad is that He's one. And different Mepharshim and Yaakov talk about how it's not easy, it's really a very deep philosophical idea. And really, our minds can't even grasp Hashem. And we're really thinking about something our minds can't grasp. And maybe we form some sort of an image of a benevolent king with a long white beard, maybe Santa Claus, you know. What picture? We form some picture in our mind, but it's really... the Tanya points this out also, that it's really ludicrous. Our minds can't grasp Hashem. Hashem is beyond comprehension, and I always add, we really even can't even grasp Ruchnius. We can't even grasp what Ruchnius is. We say the word, and we have some sort of idea of holiness and Manutak from Gashmius, but we don't have a conception of it. Like, what exactly, what is it? And Mechtam Eliyahu on the Gemara that I'm learning, well, he's not on the Gemara, but he happens, there's a piece in Michtam Eliyahu that discusses Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, and talks about how really, how difficult it is, and how the Doros change, and how, whereas in previous Doros they talked about proving Hashem's existence philosophically, and Chavis Halvavus style, and Shar HaYichud, like, to try to prove Hashem's existence on a philosophical basis. But the Mechtam says nowadays no one's interested anymore. No one cares. No one's really into philosophy. This was written probably in the 50s, 1950s. Because everybody's into hedonism and just enjoying themselves, and no one really cares about this stuff anymore, he says. it could be, he also says that there was a certain change in history. Could be he's referring to maybe Newton with science, and when people started becoming menutak from philosophy and from Hashem with the scientific age. Well, it has a name, like not the Industrial Revolution, but something with science. Like, it's also, it's like something like when the world became more knowledgeable about science and the running of the world. It has a name. with Isaac Newton, it started, they say, like the Renaissance, maybe Renaissance.
Enlightenment.
Enlightenment, yeah. So he doesn't say what he means, he just says at a certain point in history, a few hundred years ago, the world, like they said, Aristotle's full of baloney, and Plato's full of baloney, then nobody knows what they're talking about, it's all bunk, it's all baloney, it's all words, it's nothing. And they started just, let's enjoy life, and that's all. So he says the battle has to be different. The battle isn't so much Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad anymore. He says, see, based on the Gemara, he says it's really about Kabbalah's Ol Malchus Shemayim. It's really being Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad is in as much that he directs us and tells us how we should live our lives, and we want him to be pleased with us, and we want to bond with him. It's not so much about proving anything anymore. So just thinking that the Chavis HaLevavos is really so modern and up to date, because this is what he says. He speaks out the problem, and he says, "Listen, I wrote you the whole Shari Yichud. In his days, they were very heavily into philosophy and proofs of God's existence, and that's what he wrote Shari Yichud for. And he does the proofs, which were very, very rational and very sensical and made a lot of sense and in his days, and now we're just skeptics and people are just, they don't care. You don't win a debate anymore. Do they still debate? When I was a kid growing up, there was a show on television called College Something where people debated. They had students from different colleges debate, and like Seichel, they were debating. Not now a debate, a presidential debate is a joke. It's a reporter trying to get them to say something stupid. And they always comply. They always comply. But that's like the debate, it's like trying to chop them at saying something silly. But anyway, the Chavis HaLevavos says he wrote Shari HaBechina because really Shari HaYichud is too heavy. So he says it's too heavy. So really it's speaking to our door. I really feel like, if the Michtam Eliyahu says that we've gone away from proving Hashem's existence, but that's what he's saying, he writes in Shari HaBechina, that we can see Hashem's existence when we examine the Bria and when we examine history and we examine these things. So it's really very much in tune with this problem that the Michtam Eliyahu points out and what the Marusha points out on the Gemara there. And, okay. So now, in Perek Aleph, we learned that there are many manifestations of Hashem's Chochmah. So many species and so many different types of things. I mean, why limit it to animals? So many things in the world, from the cosmos and the Milky Way and the galaxies and down to the subatomic particles we could talk about. There's so much diversity in the Bria, like 50,000 kinds of cockroaches how many apples, such diversity in the Bria. So why is there such diversity in the Bria? So he says it's such an asoyon. He says, because that would give rise to a Havamina, that there's a different power that governs. You know, if everything's uniform, sort of like there's one power producing and powering. But if there's so many different things, L'chora, you would be tempted, you would be misguided in thinking. And that's what the Greeks did. They made up a god of fire and a god of water, and everybody's in charge of something else. So why did Hashem do that? This is in Perek Aleph. He said, because as we examine the Bria, we're going to see tremendous diversity. So he says, remember that, this is a very interesting svara. He says, if something does the same thing, it doesn't necessarily mean, I guess, but there's a much bigger danger. Let's say if there's a danger now that we think there's a different power in charge of everything, but if there would be one kind of apple and one kind of grape and one kind of banana, or maybe one kind of fruit and one kind of vegetable, or and the stars, like, so everything's different, then you would put Hashem in a box. It would be Hashem would, it would seem like he's limited. In other words, just like a wheat kernel only produces a wheat kernel. A wheat, it doesn't produce barley, it doesn't produce anything else. That's because of its teva, its nature, or what we call teva. So it's really, Hashem is not bound by anything. So although that sounds like, of course not, but as I always like to say, right, Hashem is not bound by time, and that we already have much more trouble understanding, because we can't imagine it. We don't know what it means. We can't imagine it. How could you not be bound by time? And then you say Hashem could have made, I always say Hashem could have made a world where 1 + 1 = 3. And you go, no. But I say, of course he could have. He's not bound by mathematics. He's not bound by anything. He created everything. There's no, it's really, this is, you know, you wonder how could it be able to Zohar, and how could there be people who denied Hashem's koach, and it's all mugbal. They all are trying to put forth the proposition that there's some hagbola to his kochos, and there's not. So he says that is brought out. That is manifested by the multiplicity and diversity of the Bria. As if to say, no gavol, look how many things there are. This is not a machine that's producing the same thing over and over and over, or the same million things. This is something that's producing a million things, each in a million different ways. And the more you look into the Bria, no two snowflakes are alike, right? So no, so I mean, Hashem is not, Hashem's not sitting there like with a machine producing snowflakes. He's producing snowflakes, and every snowflake is different, and the people are different. And the Gemara says, "Kshem shein partzufehen shovin," right? People's, right? Yes, the FBI, no two thumbprints are alike, right? So, and no two people's faces are not alike. And so that's what the Chavis Halbavos puts forth, that the diversity of the Bria will, brings out Hashem's free will. That's his lashon, an amazing lashon. Hashem, but he means Hashem is not mugbal by anything, not even by nature. He created nature, what we call teva. It's not just a question, ladies. It's like deeper. It's not just a question if Hashem could split the yam. Like, wow, that's like a magic trick. Hashem is not mugbal by time. He's not mugbal by, when the Shemen and the Beis Mikdash burnt on Hanukkah, right? The simplest way of understanding the Nes, I think, like what happened? What exactly happened? You know, the best way of understanding it is, I'll get back to the Shemen and the Menorah. The Gemara says about the Aron and the Beis Hamikdash, Mokum Aron Einu Min Hamida. It means the Kachik Kadosh measured, I think it's 10 Amos, 10, from wall to wall. If you took out a tape measure and you measured it from wall to wall, you got 10 Amos. If you measured it from the wall to the Aron, it was 5. And if you then measured it from that wall to the Aron, it was 5. Wait a second. But if you measured it from wall to wall, it was 10. And this is called the Gemara, in the Gemara's Lashon, Mokom Aron, the place of the Aron, Eina Min Hamida. It didn't take up space. That's just a magic trick. That's like Hashem is not mugbal by time. He's not mugbal by space. He's not mugbal by anything. Fire is produced, correct me if I'm wrong, my understanding is that fire is produced, you can't have something, v'nei hasne bo'er bo'esh v'hasne einenu ukol, is it's an unimaginable miracle. It's against physics, it's against the reality. Fire is produced by the burning up of the sne. Fire is produced by the burning up of the oil. That's what produces fire. What do you mean you have fire and there's still oil there, and the snare is not burned, then you wouldn't have fire. I mean, so Hashem, and so our minds are human, so we think like, okay, Hashem made fire, but he didn't. He didn't make fire. That's a magic trick. Fire, you know, he made there be a regular fire, which means the snare was burning and not burning at the same time, which sounds, how could that be? But that Hashem is above that. That's the trick. Hashem is above that. In other words, we are mugbal by laws, and we say 1 + 1 = 2. It doesn't equal 3, and contradictions cannot exist in the Bria. They can't exist. You can't have something be and not be in the same time. But Makom Aron Eino Min Hamida says yes. The Aron can be there. I didn't say the kicker of the Aron. If you look in the Chumash, the Aron was Amasayim V'Chetzi. The Aron had to have a measure, or it wouldn't have been kosher. The Aron measured Amasayim V'Chetzi. So if you measured wall to wall, it was 5. And if you measured the Aron, it was 2.5. And if you measured wall to Aron, it was 5. When you measure wall to wall, you got 10. There is no, our minds cannot grasp the answer. There is no answer. It's just a law. It's just a law. Two things can't simultaneously be at the same time in the same place, can't occupy, right? Two things can't occupy. Yes, they can. I mean, Hashem can. We think of time, or a line, as infinite, right? And then there's an infinite, we learned in school, there's an infinite number of points on a line. But really, that's an apikursisha word. There's nothing in the world that's infinite other than Hashem. It's a very important principle. I mean, I'm not sure if the word infinite means infinite. But if the word infinite means what I think it means... If the word infinite means what I think it means, then it's not chas v'shalom, it's not infinite. Everything in this world has a gvul, except for Hashem. So how could a line can have an infinite number of points? And that's why it says, v'yichal elokim b'yom hashvi, so Rashi says, a person has to take in Shabbos early, because we can pinpoint the point of time on a line when it becomes Shabbos, because there's always another point. We can't, because there's an infinite number of, that's how I understand it, there's an infinite number of points on a line. So there's no point that's Friday and the next point is Shabbos. Even though Shabbos had to come in at a certain point in time, that's a, you know, very normal sentence. Shabbos came in, it became at a certain point in time. So that means you would say, so at the point before it was Friday, and then in the next point it was Shabbos. But according to math and the laws of math, that's not a true statement, because you could always fit in another point. Because there's no such thing as one point and the next point, because there's an infinite number of points. So you could fit in. Right? That's math. Like it says, but that's really only our human, that's how we think of it. Why? Because the Zeno's paradox, something, you could keep on dividing it, you can keep on dividing the frog, there was like a frog jumping to the, anybody know about this? Zeno's paradox? Something with a frog jumping, and he keeps on jumping half the space. Something called Zeno, X-E-N-O, Zeno's paradox. It's a mathematical thing. The point is, that's what Rashi means. The omic of Rashi is, a person can't pinpoint the time when Shabbos comes in, because of the way we relate to time and points on a line and points of time. We can never pinpoint the moment something happens, because there's an infinite amount of moments on the timeline, right? Infinite number of points. So only Hashem, but you see, Hashem can. And as Hashem can pinpoint a point on a line. So that's beyond the rules of math. That's beyond the rules of physics. It's beyond. Hashem's not mugbal by anything. So this is already, it's not like Hashem could split the yam, you know, whoopee. It says the sun stood still for Yoshua. Yeah. So the morale says, like, what happened to the rest of the world? What happened to the rest of the world? What happened to the constellations? What happened to the whole solar system? Like, what do you mean it stopped? Was everything else still going? Or that everything stopped? If everything stopped, then time stopped. And if time stopped, then there couldn't have been motion in the world. This is in the Maral, in Gevuras Hashem and the Hakdama. If time stopped, if the sun stopped, then everything had to stop. And if everything stopped, then there couldn't have been motion. But he was still fighting. There was stuff going on. It's like, what happened? And the Maral says, he says, when you read a Medrash, he says, the sun stopped and it didn't stop at the same time. And I'm telling you, the sneb burnt and didn't burn at the same time. And the oil burnt and didn't burn at the same time. And the Maral says, when we read in the Medrash that when the Egyptian drunk from the pail, it was blood. And when the Jew drank, it was water. It's not a trick. It's not a trick. It was water and blood at the same time. And to the Egyptian, it was blood. And to the Jew, it was water. It was... So to us, that's impossible. That's like called... You can't have tooth... Something can't exist and not exist. But Hashem... You see, this is where it's not just Hashem splitting the Yam Suf. It's much deeper than that. Hashem is beyond any rules, any box, any law. And here, Mokum Oren Einam in Hamida, we have a 5-amma space plus a 5-amma space plus a 2.5-amma space, and it equals 10. No matter how many times you measure it. It's going to equal 10. And that happened, that was in the Beis HaMikdash. And you have, the nace of Hanukkah is a nace that, you know, they talk about what happened, and it burned, and then it filled up again, and then it filled up again. And I think it was like the snare. It was the snare. And really, it is such a nace, it's a 2 plus 2 equals 5 nace. Because if something burns, it has to burn up. That's what it means, it burns. That's what it means, it's burned. It's burning up. But how can it be there and not be there at the same time? How can it burn and not burn? This is like childish musogim. So really, this is part of not being able to conceive of Hashem, not being able to conceive of Hashem being Lamalam and Azman. And then, now you could start to understand the Ovdei Avodah Zarah, you should excuse the expression, that held that how can Hashem have a connection with this world? Like, how can he sink so low? This is a world of Hagbalah. This is a world of Shtuyot. This is a world of people, of Gashmius, of rules and laws. Isn't it more logical that Hashem set up a system of laws, physics, chemistry, laws, and then he said, have a nice day, and he was mistalek. Isn't that more logical? Because... And here's the ultimate irony. All these things I mentioned to you, with Hasneh Boer Veinenu Ukol, and Mokum Oren Einam in Hamida, right? And Veichal Elokim Beyom Hashvi, the best example of that is Hashem. Hashem is Beli Hagbalah, right? And he's in this world. And we believe he's in this world. And he wanted Dira B'Tachtonim. And he talks to Moshe Rabbeinu. And how did he talk to Moshe Rabbeinu? Like, I told you once, like, at 2 o'clock he was talking to Moshe Rabbeinu, at 5 after 2 he wasn't. That's not possible. There's no shinui in Hashem. There can't be shinui, by definition. So Hashem is out of this world and in this world. The biggest stira of all is that Hashem is in this world. How can he be in this world? This world is a world of Hagbalah. And that's the secret of Tzimtzum. This is why, if you want to go to the Kabbalah class, you know, with Madonna, you go to the Kabbalah class. And then that's the secret of that. That's what Tzimtzum is, that somehow Hashem, because when you say it, things could be and not be at the same time, that's including Hashem. Hashem is Ein Sof. Tanya talks about this a lot. Hashem, how can he be Ein Sof and be in a world with Sof? Why did I say all of this for? Because I don't know. Where did I get into this? Oh, that the Chavis HaLevis is really very deep. It's much deeper than it seems when you just read it in a translation. That the diversity of the world shows that Hashem can do what he wants. Because really you have opposing forces acting in tandem. And that's what he means. It doesn't mean that Hashem can do what he wants. Like, you know, like a kid, his parents are not home, he'll go to sleep whenever he wants. There's no one there to tell him what to do. It's much deeper than that. It means Hashem is not mugbal. And as much as we say, of course not, but no one's willing to say, and I try it out, and everybody goes, that Hashem can make a world in which 1 and 1 equals 3. And you go, I guess he can. But no one's, because, and it's not, because we don't know what it means. It's just words. Our minds do not grasp 1 and 1 equals 3, because he put us in this world with the Hagbalah of mathematics. But he's not governed by mathematics. Hashem is not governed by anything, by any law. So things can exist and not exist at the same time, and it's not a contradiction to Hashem. It's a contradiction to the laws of nature. But what's the laws of nature? It's just nothing. It's just a creation of Hashem. That's okay. So the Chavis HaLevis is saying something, I think, much deeper than it appears at first. He's saying the diversity in the Bria, which I think refers to the fact, and I did research once, and I wish I could find that paper, your husband helped me a lot, where mamish different forces work in tandem. So when he says, you see, so he doesn't say it here. Here he says, the diversity shows that Hashem is not mugbal by anything. Because everything's teva is different. Fire does, you know. Instead of saying this is the nesayon and this is the solution, this is what he says in Perek Aleph and Shara Bechina. Instead of saying fire is the opposite of water. I don't know, like different kochos, and they do different things. And Chassidus always points out that water goes down and fire goes up. Fire is ruchni, water is gashmi. And water is chesed, and fire is din, gevura, and all these things, right? So, you could say, well, the most logical thing is that there's a god of fire and a god of water. And the Chavis HaLevis says, yeah, that's a danger. But it's more important, or Hashem, it's more necessary, you know, to say Hashem is not mugbal to fire, he's not mugbal to water. He can make fire, he can make water, he can make opposites. He can make things that have different characters. Birds lay eggs, and mammals have kids, and, you know, all, anything. I mean, the more you know, the more you see it. And that's what the Chavis HaLevis is going to urge us to do in the second parak, which we may not get to tonight. He's going to urge us to study. He's going to urge us to learn. He's going to say, go out there and study, and you'll see. Don't take my word for anything. And it's a joke, because he lived 1,000 years ago. You know, if now it's like so much more you could see. It ain't so. Like, I don't know, not really ain't so, but you could spend your whole life studying. So you say, well, when are you supposed to learn Torah? If you're supposed to do what the Chavis HaLevis says, then when are you going to learn Torah? I could easily spend the whole day studying about the nature of water, right? It'll take me as long as it'll take me to learn Baba Kama. No question about it. So, I don't know what the answer is. The answer is, if you do this for 20 minutes a day, it's fine. It's fine. You know, the truth is, you can do the same thing in Torah. Just like most people walk around and they can enjoy a sunset and they can appreciate a tree, but if they only knew how mind-boggling the tree is and the sunset is. they would go out of their minds with pleasure. Like they would like, they would be ecstatic. It would be ecstasy if they would. Like I was, you know, a botanist. Did I get that word right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
When he looks at a flower, he sees the beauty of a flower. I think he gets more pleasure than the artist. The artist sees the beauty and he appreciates the beauty and sees the colors and the shape and it's beautiful. And he appreciates it. He has a sensitive soul. But the botanist looks at the flower. So even if it, this is what I hold on,
yeah, you're
I
don't not know. An artist.
Even if he doesn't, what?
You're not an artist. This is, you're just not an artist. How do you know that an artist doesn't get as much pleasure out of it?
Because the Chavis Halvavis says, and he's going to say in Perek Beis, that the more knowledge you have of something, and the more your seichel exposes all of its parts, the more you know about something, the more pleasure you will get out of it. Mm-hmm. So, you're right. I'm not an artist. Although, how do you know I'm not an artist?
It's true.
Hey, let's leave it as an open question. It's a good question. Who gets more pleasure out of seeing a flower? The artist with the sensitive soul, or the botanist who has an intellectual appreciation for all that's there?
Okay.
But they get a different kind of pleasure.
Okay, a different kind, you could say. I think the one with I'm putting forth that the botanist is getting a deeper pleasure. Because he understands it more. And he's working with the seichel. The Tanya says the same thing. Uh-huh. In one of the first few prokim, that a fear of Hashem or an avos Hashem that is based on seichel is so much more deep-rooted and well-rounded and much deeper and much more encompassing than an emotional one. But you're right in that a botanist can run the risk of not having any pleasure at all. Notice he looks at a flower and he sees a bunch of chemicals put together. Mm-hmm. It's true. If that's all it is, then he doesn't have any pleasure at all. It's like he's in a laboratory cooking up chemicals. Mm-hmm. If that's all he sees.
That's a lot.
I'm talking about if he sees the beauty, but he understands how much is involved in producing that beauty. Surely everybody would admit that's more pleasurable. If you have an understanding of what produced the beauty, when an architect looks at a building, you know, when a person looks at a building after it's built, and it has architectural beauty, so he has pleasure from the architectural beauty. And, you know, but the architect, an architect that didn't build the building, he walks by, and he knows what's involved, and he knows the chachma and the. Of course, he gets more pleasure. I don't hear a suffix even. But with my experience, let's say in learning, right. Someone could learn a piece of Gemara and get pleasure from it because it's so logical and it's so mesudar and it encompasses and the way it deals with issues and the open debate and back and forth and this and that. I learned by Rosh Yeshiva, Rav Avraham Berman Zatzal, who taught us to appreciate, who taught us like what lies beneath everything. It's like looking at a building and knowing, you know, how it was produced, looking at a flower and knowing how it's produced. And deeper. And we don't think we plumbed the depths of Torah, right? Torah is deeper than anything anybody could ever do. So it's the same thing. I know I get more pleasure out of a sugya than other people because I see it in more depth. I see it in more depth. That's all. So anyway, it's not me. I have the Hashem sent me to a very, very special Rosh Yeshiva. Okay. I mean, even if you read a book and you get pleasure from the story, but if you know what went into it, and how the author grappled with different ways of writing and different conflicts and the protagonist of the story and how he produced it. Okay. So the Chaim Zalovitz says it's really a major yisod that the diversity in the world is to show Hashem's free will. That's how he puts it, that Hashem can do what he wants. Rashi, I spoke out, the Chaim Zalovitz doesn't speak it out, just as Rashi, is that we will quickly become immune to something, you know, we'll shrug it off. Once you get used to something, you're not in a spoil from it anymore. So you say, big deal, you know. Even no matter how beautiful something is, no matter how wondrous something is, if you see it day after day after day after day and there's no change, and you just see the same thing every single day, so you're going to be bored. So Hashem made diversity so that we should never fail to say, Morabu Ma'asecha Hashem, and we will never fail to be the spoil from Hashem's Bria. What Chaim Zalovitz doesn't say, although I think he alludes to it, is what I said, that the diversity in the Bria is to show his Achdus. As he says, it's to show his Lasos Behem Kirtzono, that he does his Chayfetz, as I explained it. He's not Mugbal by anything. Rashi says to continuously be nespoil from the Chochmah. And I'm hearing, and I think Chazalovitz alludes to it, to see Hashem's Achdus, because you have all these different forces working in tandem, working together. So that's how he ends the first parak. And he ends the first parak with, we've seen many times, and I've said many times, and Chazalovitz is very humble, and many times throws into the Sefer very humble phrases. And here at the end of the first parak, he says, I don't know if I'm right about this. Hashem's Chochmah is much greater, much higher, much deeper than anything we could think of. And I hope I'm right, and I'm sure there's other reasons why the Bria is so diverse. I don't imagine that I've tapped into the only reason that there is. But Hashem's Chochmah is beyond us. Vein Eloka mi baladov. Okay, so let's start Perek Beis for 2 minutes. And then where he says, Perek Aleph is what is Bechina. And he described it as examining with Chochmah, with Tvuna, with Bina, with Das, the Bria of the Hashem. And the Bria means everything, including history and physics and chemistry and biology, everything, 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 everything. Hashem made everything in the world. Perek Beis is, okay, we've explained what it is and why it's important, and now we have to examine, do we have to do it? Maybe it's something only for tzaddikim, for people on a higher madrega. Like, how do I know me, the average Joe, has to the best of my ability, examine the Bria and see Hashem's existence, Achdus? Maybe someone will make up an acronym so we can remember. Hashem's existence, Achdus. I'm not as good as the women last night that on the spot thought of 4 D's. But we're talking about his existence, his singularity, I don't know in English, his Achdus, his Chochmah, his wisdom, and his good, his Gutzkeit, that he bestows good. He's a Meitiv. Those are the 4 things that we're supposed to accomplish through Shaar HaBechina, to see those 4 things. Perek Beis is your average Joe or Jane mechuyev to do it. Maybe it's like a high madrega, and we're simple people, and I get a headache thinking about these things. Like, leave me alone. What do you want from me? I'm happy if I drag myself out of bed in the morning, get through the day, and go to sleep at night. What do you want me to think about when I look out the window and I go for a walk? You want me to think about these things? Lazop, leave me alone. That's what my grandmother would say, Lazop. So he says, no, 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 you can't run away from your obligation. Do we have to do it, or is it just something for tzaddikim? Nomar, I will say, ki habechina bebruim, examining and contemplating the Bria, Bahavos Raya Mayhem, and bringing a raya from them, Lachmus Aborius Barach, Anu Chayovin Ba. And now he goes back to the tripod, which he said in his Hakdama, to the Sefer. Seichel, Psukim, and Torah Shebaal Peh. If you remember, maybe. So he says, I will show you now logically, and from the Psukim and Tanakh, Umin HaKabbalah, meaning from Torah Shebaal Peh, Al Masorah, I will show you how it's an absolute obligation. And well, that will come to an end. But now I told you something about Hanukkah.